Hi, I'm Mark Valley. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Episode 60 of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening. Episode 60. Well, we made it to 60. It took a while to get here, longer than expected, but you know what? We're here. And I thank you for stopping by, downloading, and most of all, I thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. It's greatly appreciated. But you know what? You don't have to wait so long to stay in touch with us and find out what's going on. You can always follow us on Twitter at Berlin Brigade. It's Berlin Brigade, all one word. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Berlin Brigade, all one word. And as always, you can drop me an email at Dave, D-A-V-E, at BerlinBrigade.com. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot going on. So you know what? Let's get started. And let's get this show going on. Let's see. The first thing we're going to do is do what we usually try to do in every episode is answer some listener email. We've got about 5 or 6 emails that we're going to answer and address and talk about. So let's go. Let's go. Here we go. The first email on Thursday, July 30th, we got an email. And Joe writes, "My name is Joe. Hey, Joe. Thanks for writing in. I do appreciate it." And he was in a unit with the Berlin Brigade from 91 to 94. And he wants to update his email on the registry page. Can he do that? Or is it something that I do? Well, Joe, it's real simple. Everybody else, it's real simple. You have an email change. You change your email for whatever reason. Awesome. Here's what you need to do. You need to go back and resubmit on the registration online form. And in the comments section, please write change of email address. That kind of lets me know what I need to do with that one. Otherwise, we're going to start seeing duplicates, and I've been purging duplicates, so be on the lookout for that. If you see you see some page that has duplicates, don't worry, it's starting to come out. We've got a new database running, so that should make things a little bit easier to handle, a little bit easier to deal with, and obviously minimize those duplicate entries that were previously there. So again, please use the online registration form, and just in the comments section, write change of email address. It's that simple. Now, then when I personally make the updates to the database and to the website, the new email address will show up. Now, I try to do this about once or twice a month, and it's usually, you know, whatever's up to that day. And of course, as always, it's one of those things that I've known. And I've experienced the day I make an update, a massive update like I did last weekend, that afternoon or a little bit later on, I start getting more changes. And it's like, well, okay, here we go. So now they've got to wait. And that's just the way it is. Again, it's not anything anybody controls because, again, I don't turn that control over to you because we're trying to minimize spamming. We're trying to minimize people that are, I'm not kidding, they go and they just strip down, they hunt for email addresses. And that's why you see that dash dash at AT dash dash between your name and your service provider. For that reason, we're trying to get around, trying to avoid dealing with spam issues because they're going to spam you, they're going to spam me. And trust me, with 5,000 names, I don't want you guys getting any more unnecessary spam than you are already getting. So if you start getting spam and you see that it's something from Berlin Brigade, let me know. I'll try to work it out. I've been trying to minimize it, but you know, there's individuals that just sit out there and scrape email addresses out there. That's what they do for a living. Now, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? You know, somebody's got to make a living, but it's also a bad thing because, again, they're not telling you they're doing that. So that's why I try to make it a little bit more difficult because all they do is they just grab data and they're looking for that little at sign. And from there, it kind of goes and they'll grab it and they have no problem doing it. So again, folks, if you are getting emails from individuals that you did not ask for, unsolicited emails, and you know that they grabbed it from the email address you provided to BerlinBrigade.com, please let me know. Dave@BerlinBrigade.com, because again, I want to do what I can to prevent that from happening. I know there's people out there scraping email addresses. I've seen them on my analytics. We go in there and I can pull up screens and I can see where somebody's just sitting on a page for minutes. And then the next page, which just happens to coincide with the order of the pages in the registry. Now, they don't bounce around. They just go from one page to the next page to the next page based on the registry index page. And I know what they're doing. They're scraping, and I've got their IP addresses. I know what state they're coming from. I know what country they're coming from. I know what town at some point. Sometimes I even can tell you what town in what state in southwestern United States they're coming from. They're doing it. So watch out. And again, folks, you're listening to this, you let me know. So again, there it is. That's why I personally make the updates. I know it doesn't go as fast as you like, but again, I'm looking out for you just like I'm looking out for myself. Now, if you have no problem with the spam, then I'll put your email address just like that, but you need to let me know in the comment section. Let's see, moving on to email number two. Got an email from Chris Hazel. And he talks about a former Turner tanker. Well, it seems that the United States Army support activity at Fort Dix, New Jersey has a new command sergeant major. And we want to wish congratulations and way to go to a command sergeant major, Richard R. Anderson, from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, who joined the Army in 1988, July of 88, as a 19-kilo M1 armor crewman. And upon completing his assignment, his first training assignment, sorry about that, upon completing his training, he was assigned to F Company, 40th Armor Berlin Brigade, Berlin, Germany. Way to go there, Sergeant Major. Awesome. So congratulations. And thanks, Chris, for passing on that email. Let's see, the next one. The next email reads as follows. Quote, back in the late 70s to early 80s, I was one of those American wives who worked as a civilian over at BB. I am ready to retire from the Treasury now, and I have no idea what the retirement package that I receive while in Berlin says. Is someone aware of how the retirement system works for retired military wives who worked at BB for Deutschmarks? Or do you know of a German translator in the Oklahoma City area? Well, you know what? I will ask a former civilian employee who worked over in the BB area. I happen to know one. There's one in my family. And I will get with her to see what was in the works there. And if she's got an answer, I'll pass it along to you. But anybody else, if you're in the Oklahoma City area and you know of a German translator or you are a German translator, tell you what, drop me an email, dave@davegarrett.com, and I will put you in contact with the author of this email. So again, don't worry, we're going to get you an answer. I'll write you an answer, and if somebody out there is a translator, I'll put you in touch with a translator. Let's see, email number four. They say basically they'd like to have some of their photos added to the BerlinBrigade.com gallery. Great, fantastic, I always welcome that. I want that, I need more, we don't have enough. And this is all you need to do. Just send them over as JPEGs. And in the contents and in the subject line, just put, you know, photo submission for gallery page. And then be sure to provide some bio info of yourself, like who you are, obviously, what unit you were with, and from what time frame are these photos that you're attaching. And just send them over as JPEGs, and I will add them to the gallery page. By all means, the email address is dave@berlinbrigade.com. My name is Dave Guerra, but dave@berlinbrigade.com, and just send them over there and we'll get them on. Email number five. I am a retired U.S. Army Master Sergeant currently living in Berlin, Germany. I am writing this email on behalf of my wife's nephew. So wouldn't he be your nephew too? Searching for a buddy of his who was stationed with the Berlin Brigade at the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s. The name of my wife's nephew is Eric Carl Dietrich Zemke. Eric never served in the U.S. military. However, he's looking for somebody named Michael Bilbo. He's a former soldier and that he's trying to get in contact with. And Michael's unit with the Berlin Brigade to which he was assigned is unknown. I would appreciate any information that you may be able to provide in reference to Michael Bilbo, B-I-L-B-O. On behalf of Eric and I, thank you for your attention to this email. Best regards. Well, again, I'll just throw it out there. If anybody knows, we'll post it and let me know. Again, if you have any information or suggestions on where to go or where to begin, please drop me an email, dave@davegarrett.com, and I will put you in contact with the author of this email. Let's see, and that takes care of email number 5. Wow, we're really going here, aren't we? Let's see, email number 6. Here we go. Another one. Oh, interesting one, too. My grandfather, PFC James T. Trapani, T-R-A-P-A-N-I, worked in the Army Post Office in occupied Berlin in 1945. He went home in December of 1945. Is there any way to determine which APO he worked in and or what unit he was with? He was with the 143rd Infantry till he was in a 95th evac hospital with a sprained ankle in March of 45. Then he may have been transferred to the 82nd Airborne. I don't know for sure. His discharge papers don't say. Thanks. Wow. Okay, well, let's see if we can break this down. We know he was with the 143rd Infantry, and he was assigned to the evac hospital while he was injured until March. And then he got home in December. So we've got March to December. And he worked at the post office, or at the APO, in Berlin of 1945. So he worked there from July, at the earliest, July, until he came home in December. See, about 6 months there. Well, again, you might want to check the registry, see if there's anybody from that time frame. But for the most part, I'm going to have to put this out there to everybody else. If anyone has any idea on where this individual can begin or continue his search, please advise by email. Let me know and I'll put you in contact with that individual. Again, just trying to find out where somebody would have worked, what was the unit title, and we'll kind of go from there. Well, excuse me. That's it for this episode's email. Next episode's email, I've got one I don't have a direct answer to, but it's one. It's a question that has popped up in the past, and it's a very good question. And as we get further and further away, it's going to get more and more difficult, but I'm going to try to work on this one to get a little bit more answers than what I have previously. So it's not that I'm holding back on email. It's just that I want to provide a little bit more answer than what I've been providing, other than just I'm going to pass this on to everybody else. So definitely want to help on that one. Now, let's talk about the Deutsche American Volksfest, the German American Volksfest. The 55th annual German American Volksfest is well underway. While it's no longer at the field across from Truman Plaza, it isn't even in the former American sector. That's rough. I mean, I understand. Things happen, politics happen, progress happens. Developers want to use this land for something else, for luxury, quote-unquote luxury apartments. But you know what? It might be time to bring it back to the American sector. And why? Because it is the German-American Volksfest, and it's a great way to maintain that connection to the past other than just the name of the Volksfest, but it's the German-American Volksfest held in the former American sector. How about that? Again, reinforce that tie. But again, that's just one man's opinion. The Volksfest is located at Heidestrasse, not far from Berlin's central train station, or Hauptbahnhof. And the Volksfest is open every day from 2 p.m. Until when it closes. And on Sundays, they open at noon, which is pretty cool. Now, they say there is a nonstop stage show and some great carnival attractions. I've seen some of the images on Facebook and on the Facebook page, and I will put that link to that page on the show notes there on the website. So you'll need to go to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, and then you'll need to go to episode 60 so you can see the links. So if you're listening and you're not anywhere near, again, you'll need to visit the website to get those links. But they've posted some great videos, images, and so some of the attractions, some of the rides, I hope are not the same ones, but again, they're the same in the sense of the little roller coaster things, the spinning avalanche thing where the cups are, not the cups, the seats, the things spin around, and bumper cars, obviously. I hope they're not the same ones, but if they are, wow, pretty good, good condition. And every time I see them, it's like, well, okay, all right, you know what? I've been planning it. I've been trying to and figuring out when is the time to go. So I can tell you right now, I can't wait to get back to Berlin, just like everybody else. But I can't wait to go back and attend number 56. So if we can get it moved to the American sector by next year, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be really neat. So there you go, German-American Volksfest Berlin. Your challenge has been laid down by a former member of the Berlin Brigade, and we'd like to go back, and we'd like to go to the American sector. However, in the meantime, if you find yourself in Berlin between now and the 16th of August, get yourself over to Heidestrasse and enjoy all the good stuff that's going on. They've got bands, they've got food, they've got games, they've got rides, they've got music. Again, it's awesome. So, as somebody said in one of the television newscasts that I picked up for Berlin, this is a tradition. So keep the tradition alive and let's move it back to the American sector. That's my rant on the German-American Volksfest in Berlin. The next thing I want to talk about, it's the TV show. It's an awesome show. If you have not seen it, you're missing out. You really need to find a way to see it. And again, I will put the links to that show on the website show links, on the podcast show links on the website. And that's Deutschland 83 or Deutschland 83. Sundance TV has it and it runs Wednesday nights. However, it's a short season, 8 episodes. And this coming Wednesday is the last episode of the season. I have not heard if there will be a season 2 or if there is a season 2, will it be Deutschland 84? I can't wait. Either way, I hope they bring it back. I hope there's another season. There's more stories out there. That's for sure. We were there. We know there's plenty of stories. Now, if you do not know what Deutschland 83 is, well, here's a brief description from the Internet Movie Database. Set in a divided Germany in 1983, during a peak period for Cold War tensions between East and West, Martin Rausch, a wide-eyed 24-year-old East German soldier plucked from obscurity, goes undercover as a West German soldier for the East German Secret Service. That about sums it up. That does about sum it up. And it is pretty cool. Remember, the only thing I really have to say about this is a television show. And it is historical fiction. The show is made for a general audience. So we were there. We're going to see some inconsistencies. We're going to say, you know what? That didn't really happen. Or this is not the way they're doing things. Again, this is made for a general audience. So as Cold War relics, need to give a little latitude, but you know what? At some points we have to say, you know what? Enough's enough. But luckily for this show, it doesn't go that way, which is pretty cool. Very good for a show. Remember, the story's about a young Stasi spy in 1983 in East and West Germany, but East and West Germany is a backdrop, and so is everything else that's going on around him. It's just the story of this kid and where he's put in, how he got put into that situation. And, you know, the story is excellent. I really do like the story. It really does resonate. It keeps you entertained. And each episode does a great job of keeping you on the edge of your seat. You know, it doesn't take you there and just leaves you hanging. It actually, like, the tension does build up. And it makes you wanting more. And that's why I say I hope there's a second season. And that's why I can't wait for the next Deutschland season 2. Now, something you should know, which is also pretty cool about Deutschland 83. It's the first German television program broadcast on American television in the original German. So, you know, don't worry. If your German's a little rusty, don't worry. Don't worry. It has English subtitles. But it's such fast pace. You know, you stop looking at the title, at the subtitles, and you start watching the show and listening to what they're saying. And at some point, it all just kicks in and you pick up right where what's going on and you really have no problem. But again, like I said, if your German's a little rusty, don't worry. And again, if you haven't seen it, check it out. Like I said, I'll put the links on the website's show notes, on the podcast show notes on the website. There we go. And Deutschland 83 airs on Sundance TV. And while you're watching the show, please remember OPSEC, you know, because this show does take place during the Cold War. Alrighty, now let's move on. The next thing I want to talk about is football season 2015. Yep, you know, the football 2015 NFL season is just around the corner, and you know what that means. That's right, the 2015 BerlinBrigade.com fantasy football season is starting up again. Now, for those of you that were in the league last year, I thank you. It was a lot of fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, this year, I'm going to open it up to everyone and anyone that wants to join. It was fun. Now, over the next couple of days, I'm recording this on August 1st, Saturday, August 1st. And by next Friday, by the end of the week, you're going to have all the information you need to know because I'm going to post it on Twitter. I'm going to post it on Facebook and on the BerlinBrigade.com website. And it's going to have all the information on how you can join us. And it's free. There is no cost. There is no fee. And the winner will get a stein that'll basically it's for bragging rights, but you're going to get the Stein that says 2015 BerlinBrigade.com Fantasy Football League champion. And it's bragging rights, and it's a Stein, and it's awesome. At least you've seen last season's Stein. And if I can get the winner to take a picture and post it up there for us, that'd be kind of cool. But in the meantime, I want you to join us. It's a lot of fun. So know this. The fantasy draft will be the last weekend in August. And while it may seem there is not much time, there is still plenty of time to get your draft strategy underway. Figure out who's going to draft. Remember, as of August 1st, Tom Brady is going to sit out a couple of games. So think about your draft strategy. Who are you going to draft? And I hope you can join us. Now, over the course of this past couple of months, I've been posting. If you've been following me on Twitter, if you've been following me on Facebook, on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Berlin Brigade, I've mentioned something that's been bothering me. And it really does bother me because I've got a high school age daughter, and she's getting ready to go into this. She's getting ready to take AP United States History, and that's the Advanced Placement United States History course. She's going to take it, and I've been looking at their framework and the early information that they've posted about that. And this applies to all high schoolers. This is going to go into effect this year, the 2015-2016 school year. Now, what happens here is you pass this course, you get high school credit. You pass the final test, and it actually applies for college credit. So it's pretty cool. However, there's this thing. They've really worked it down. I've read it, and they've just recently released the Advanced Placement U.S. History Course Framework. Just recently released. I downloaded it. I've broken down into the time frame, and it would be like 45 to 1980. And in that section, it's the Cold War. So they talk about it, but it's very vague. It's very general. It's pretty much out in the open. It really doesn't deliver what... It leaves it up to interpretation. And it delivers, and it leaves it up to the teachers to interpret. Now, is that going to fall in line with the testing? Well, that only says yes, it will. Because, again, the test can only be so much. So what I'm getting at is I feel that a lot of the Cold War, those 45 years of the Cold War... are going to come to an end. And I say 40 years of the Cold War, just kind of round numbers, not anything to say, oh yeah, this is historically it. No, it's just round numbers. But what I'm getting at is it's going to be vague. It's going to be left to a lot of interpretation. And when things are left to interpretation, they're also left to misinterpretation. And that right there, my friends, is where we have the problem. See, it's up to us. It's up to us. And I'm going to quote something out of the book. See, while increasing numbers of textbook publishers are including primary source material within the text, it's important that teachers introduce students to a wide variety of source material in order to provide opportunities to analyze evidence from the past from diverse sources. I agree. The problem is where those sources are. You know, where are they coming from? Who are they? What are they? How right are they? How correct are they? And how wrong are they? How way out in left field or right field they are. You know, that's the thing. So this is where I call on you, each and every one of you. Be the source. Be the primary source. You know, it's our duty as veterans of the Cold War, as veterans of the United States military, as veterans of the Berlin Brigade, you know, as those veterans. There is no greater resource than those of us that were there on the front lines of the Cold War. Remember, should it all have gone hot, it would have been us that would have been there when it started, and we would have been there when it came to an end. Now, this is where I'm asking you. No, I'm just begging. Make yourselves available to the next generation of students and their teachers. Step up and share everything you know and everything you can about those days during the Cold War when you were there, when you were on the front lines. See, we have a unique perspective. We're right there. See, fortunately, because again, it's one of those things, it doesn't stop. But the AP History Framework also mentions using secondary sources. Folks, please do not let those that weren't even born when the Berlin Wall was up be those secondary sources. Don't let them speak for you. See, this is what the AP History Course Framework defines as a secondary source. Non-contemporary accounts of the past written by historians or scholars of other related disciplines, such as economists, sociologists, political commentators, or art historians. Really? Is this how you want your No. I mean, is this how you want our history to be told? We were there. These secondary sources are worse than those, quote, scholars, unquote, who by some miracle of modern mediocrity consider themselves, quote, experts, unquote, on historical figures that are over 900 years ago. You know, seriously, how can you be an expert on something that happened 900 years ago? How can you be an expert on something you've never experienced firsthand? Sure, you can walk where they walked, but again, you know, I touched the Berlin Wall. You touched the Berlin Wall. But in 2009, 20 years after the wall fell, I could only walk where it stood. My daughter stood on both sides of where it once was, but she'll never, ever touch the Berlin Wall while it was up. That's what I'm talking about. So while those historians, you know, may be ballsy, but they're also clueless. Because again, they'll never have that experience. They can only imagine. Personally, I would not want anyone telling our story that way. I mean, we were there. They can only imagine, like I said, we know exactly what living in Berlin was like, what those times were like, because we were there. So again, I say, please make yourselves known to your local high school history teachers. Contact the school district's director of curriculum. Let them know what rich experience you bring and that you want to share with those young minds. Get out there and share your story before someone else does, and someone else will share the wrong story, I guarantee you, especially those that were never there, or those that, you know, I hate to say this, but they're out there too. There are those individuals that while they served in the military, maybe did the Berlin orientation tour. But you know what? That was a week. That was a week. Sure, they may have touched the wall, but they weren't there day in, day out, day in, day out. Those are the people that need to be talking about it, not those that, well, I touched it one day and then I went back to work next week. No, those are just clueless. And if I come across as very emotional about this, you better believe I'm emotional about this, because again, this is our history. This is our world that because of us is here today. So we need to make sure that what we say gets, well, we have our say. It's just that simple. I better move on. Going to give out a couple of thank yous. Peter LaForce, thank you for the notification on the broken links in the registry page. I do appreciate it. Again, folks, you see something wrong on the website, let me know immediately. Drop me an email. I might not work on it that moment, but you know, it's better than not knowing at all. And I do appreciate it, Peter. Thank you very much. I also want to give out a huge, awesome BerlinBrigade.com shout out to Larry Rugg, former member of Bravo, 4th Battalion, 18th Infantry. Thanks a lot, Larry. I do appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Listen, everybody, I'm going to wrap this up because I've ranted. And again, it's just how serious I am about that AP history framework or AP history course. You know, it's our story. So let's make sure that we tell it and it gets in there. And they know what's going on. And we've got people from the Berlin Brigade all over the United States. So I think we got all the bases covered. I think we got all the bases covered. So again, reach out. Talk to your schools. Talk if you got students that are in high school, talk to them. Write a note to give to their teacher. Give it to the kids and have them take it to the teacher. Say you're willing to come in and talk about this period of the Cold War. And I'll post some more stuff online on the blog, and I'll put some more stuff on the website to kind of help direct teachers. So if they're looking for something, there's that information. Okay. I'm going to start wrapping this up. I thank you for listening to episode 60. That's much better. Thank you for listening to episode 60. I am David Guerra, former member of 3rd Platoon, Alpha Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry Regiment, Berlin Brigade, United States Army. And don't forget to follow BerlinBrigade.com on Twitter at Berlin Brigade. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BerlinBrigade, all one word. And as always, you can drop me an email at dave@BerlinBrigade.com. Until next time, Danke schön, auf Wiedersehen, tschüss.
The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a David Guerra presentation.